Then there will be a gathering of the Northern Presby Choir on Saturday, 20th of November at 7:30 in the Holmes Memorial Hall in Ballymoney. And that is something for your diary. And then European Missionary Fellowship Autumn Conference is this coming Saturday in Stromilis EP Church. And I think the EMF always has an excellent selection of speakers or webinars. And so pray for that. And if possible, feel free to head down to Belfast to Stromilis EP for that time beginning at 10 in the morning. These are all of the announcements. Let us hear God's call to worship for us from Hebrews chapter 4. And we read simply from verse 14 to the end. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yes, the great privilege of worship on the Lord's day because of the Lord Jesus. The blessing and privilege of worship and of prayer, and how we can come with confidence into his presence. Let us read together and sing in our hearts from Psalm 77. Psalm 77. In reading the first two stanzas, and then from stanza 9 to 11. This is Remembrance Sunday. And this is one of the many psalms that encourages us to remember. Psalm 77, verse 1. I unto God will lift my voice, unto him I will cry. I unto God will lift my voice, and he'll give ear to me. When in the day of my distress unto the Lord I turned, all night my tireless hands stretched out, my soul all comfort spurned. And then from stanza 9. The Lord's works I remember will, your wonders past recall. I'll meditate upon your work and on your great deeds all. O God, most holy is your way. What God like God is great? You are the God who wonders works. All peoples know your might. You have redeemed your people, Lord. With your strong arm have you redeemed the sons of Jacob all, the sons of Joseph too. Yes, the Lord's works I remember well. What God is like our God? I've been reading a book recently. There's been a contrast between the gods of other religions who are unknown gods, or in a sense, we personally cannot know our God, and yet he has made himself known to us in such a wonderful way in his word, and especially in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we're not here today to worship an unknown God, but a God who in his love and grace has made himself known to us. May we rejoice in him. May we remember him and remember all that he has done for us. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you indeed for this great and wonderful privilege of being able to come into your very presence in worship and in prayer. And we thank you for that great way of access that has been opened up for us through Jesus. Father, we thank you that we know who you are as Creator. Lord, we thank you, we know that you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And why that is quite beyond our little finite minds to understand how you can be three in one at the same time. We thank you for this wonderful, wonderful revelation that we have in your word. That word that is true, that word that is sure and infallible concerning your person. And so, Father, today, we pray that yet again you would help us to meditate upon your person, to meditate upon your glory, your love, your grace, and especially even your patience with people like us, sinful, sinful people. Father, as we look round the room, as we think of other people here, we might think of the past of certain people and say, that's a real sinner. And yet, Father, we know that the worst sinner in this room is ourselves. How we have sinned against you in thought, in word, and in deed. Time and time again, day after day, even on the Lord's day, even this very day, this very morning, we have sinned. We have perhaps for all kinds of reasons rushed here. We have not prepared our hearts as we ought to. Father, forgive us of our sins of today, sins of this morning, sins of our lives. And how we thank you that with you, you have wiped our sins out from your memory. We thank you that the Lord Jesus bore the sins of all of his people and how his righteousness has been transferred to us. And as you see, we who are in Christ, you see us as being as just, as righteous, as holy as the Lord Jesus was. Father, we find that absolutely amazing. And we thank you for it. And we pray that our hearts would be overflowing with praise, thanksgiving for all that you are and all that you've done for us. And so, Father, we pray that today may we remember your goodness, your help in so many ways. We thank you for memories of your word to us in this place in the past. We thank you for that word that has spoken to us at various times, various passages that are so precious to us. And Father, we pray even today, may you speak to us, not because of the quality of the speaker, but because your Spirit is active and present in our midst to bless us and to do us good. Yes, Father, may your Spirit be at work in each of our hearts that we might know in leaving this place that you, the Lord, have been with us and you, the Lord, have spoken to us. And Father, what we pray for ourselves here, we pray for every other gathering of your people today, that wherever your word goes forth, wherever the Lord Jesus is being presented truthfully, may it be a day of great blessing and rejoicing in heaven as here and there people turn to the Lord Jesus and find him as Savior and Lord, and as others grow in grace and knowledge. So, Father, bless us now. Continue with us and pardon of our sins. Because we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The last time I was here, there were a few children sitting over here, but we're all children, of course. And I think there's some children perhaps in the church building. And so, yes, this is Remembrance Sunday. And many people have been remembering loved ones, family members, lost in the wars. And I don't know whether any of you here have lost family members in the world wars. In our family, we just discovered about 10 years ago that the brother of my grandfather, a man called David Harris Ball, died in the First World War. As a young man, he had emigrated to Australia. And some time later, joined the Australian Army and fought at Gallipoli in Turkey. And then they moved to France, this Australian Army. And in fact, he died in France on the 2nd of September, 1918, just over 2 months before the end of the war. And Muir and I visited his grave in the town of Peron, near Amiens, in the northeast of France, in August 2014. And probably we were the first family members ever to visit his grave. And I must confess, it is a most moving, moving moment to stand there and see your family name. And you wonder what happened to his family. We discovered afterwards he had a wife and child in Australia. And I don't think anyone in my family ever knew what happened to that family at all. But very, very moving. Another occasion in another part of France, we were visiting another graveyard. It was an Irish graveyard from First World War. And here the name was Private Alan Ball. And of course, that's the name of our son. And to see the name of our son on a grave, moving. And so, yes, it's important that we remember. We give thanks for those who have fought in the past, those who have given their lives. But God's word tells us to remember many things. And to the children in particular, if they're here, I would ask them if they can tell me some verses in the Bible that begin with the word remember. So all the children here before me, who can tell me a verse? Remember. Exactly. The fourth commandment. We are to remember our Creator. Yes. Remember our Creator. Do we remember Him? Look around at the beauty of our world and say, yes, thank you, God, for making all these things so wonderful, so beautiful. Is there another verse that comes to mind? Perhaps some have learned, beginning, remember. Yes, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are the two verses that came to mind immediately. How we need to remember. This day is God's day. And all kinds of challenges upon us today, just to treat it as another day. I find when I'm traveling to different churches, it is striking the number of lorries, the number of tractors on the roads. And back a long time ago, that didn't happen. Number of guys out on their bikes, number of people out running. And all those things are good. But the Lord's day is for something different, to come aside and to think of Him. Friends, how do we treat the Lord's day? Does the Lord Himself have the first place in our hearts and thoughts, activities? And of course, there's another verse that comes to mind. In fact, the word remember, there are lots of things about remembering in God's word. But Jesus Himself said there, almost the end of His life, do this in remembrance of Me, the Lord's Supper. Yes, that's not for the children perhaps, but it's for all of us to think, to remember Jesus, to remember what he did on the cross for us. And yes, some churches have the Lord's Supper every week, others twice a year or whatever. I'm not quite sure what the practice is. But that doesn't mean we just think of Jesus and his finished work on the cross when there's the Lord's Supper. No. Every single day we should be thinking of him, giving thanks for him, giving thanks for his finished work on the cross. Do we remember these things? Or are there abundance of other things that occupy our mind and our attention, and we forget? May this indeed be a real Sunday of remembrance as we think about God's goodness to us through his Son, through many people in the past, through preservation of the nation in the past, because that goodness of God has been manifested in many, many different ways. So let us bow before God again, giving thanks, remembering his goodness and grace. Our Father, how indeed we thank you that you've given to us this day, a day that is to be different from every other day, not because it is longer or shorter or the sun shines more brightly, but simply a day when we can turn aside from our normal activities to think in a special way about you. And yes, we can read your word every day and must do so, but we pray that even today, may your word be a special joy to us, and its teaching concerning you, concerning your Son. Father, may we delight to find Jesus in every page of Scripture. May we want to find out more and more about him in those more difficult passages of the Old Testament. May we be rejoicing in him. Father, we thank you that you are a great and wonderful creator God. We thank you for the beauty all around us. And we thank you even for that beauty and marvel at our own bodies, how little organs function. And yes, many believe this is simply by chance these things have come into being. How sad. Father, open their eyes that they might see you as the great and wonderful God who has made all these things. God of power. The God whose word brought all things into being. And Father, we thank you that power is still there. You are the same God. And we pray that that power might be manifested even today, this Lord's Day. As people hear the word, may your Spirit be active throughout our world, transforming people, transforming nations. Father, we thank you for the advance of the gospel in differing lands. And we pray today, wherever it goes forth, in a little humble home, people meeting in secret in some land or in some great cathedral. But Father, we pray that you would take that word by your Spirit and apply it to all who hear, that today might be a day of great blessing and transformation. And Father, we pray for the children and young people in this congregation, that they might indeed remember you in the days of their youth, come to saving faith, to put their trust in you. And so we pray for the Sabbath school, we pray for the CY, we pray for all the activities in our wider church for the young people, the camps and other activities. Yes, Father, be at work among the young people to raise up a generation who will serve you in the congregation, a generation who will serve you in the wider church as missionaries, as pastors, as preachers. Yes, Father, we pray that you would call many into your service. So be at work in their lives. Be at work in our lives, that indeed day by day we might think upon your wonderful, wonderful truths. And so guide us now as we turn to your truth. Bless it to each one of us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn to God's word, to Ephesians chapter 1, and we read a few verses together. Ephesians chapter 1, and we read the first 14 verses of this chapter. Ephesians chapter 1, and reading from the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Amen. This is God's holy, precious, and infallible word. In the past, in many different churches at this time of year, there was what was called a Thanksgiving service. I don't know whether that was ever the practice or tradition here in Kilrats. But for all of the years in France, the idea of having a Thanksgiving service never, ever would have crossed our minds, because Thanksgiving was an American thing. They had a Thanksgiving Day. And for them, Thanksgiving Day is the last Thursday of the month. And so it's actually the 25th of this month. In 11 days' time, they'll be having a day that for them is even a more important day than Christmas Day. But in the Bible, there are a whole succession of events organized to give thanks to God for his goodness and grace to his people. As we read the Old Testament, especially the books of Moses, we find that there were different festivals and feasts were organized. One of them was the Feast of Harvest, mentioned in Exodus 23. And when they entered the Promised Land, or even earlier during their wanderings in the wilderness, God called them to thankfulness for all his provision for their many needs. Physical needs, spiritual needs. He was with them to bless them and to do them good. And so this morning I want us to consider an Old Testament passage in Isaiah. Perhaps not one of the best known passages in Isaiah, but one that deserves to be much, much better known. It's Isaiah chapter 12. So you've turned to Isaiah 12 for a moment to read this short chapter together. Isaiah 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Sometimes the layout of the chapters in the Bible don't always help us to understand the ideas and theme that the writer has. Isaiah didn't write in chapters, but he wrote in sections. And so this chapter 12 of Isaiah closes the section that begins at chapter 6. And I'm sure you can remember something of chapter 6. There, Isaiah had this great consciousness of how holy God was and how sinful he was. But then there were embers brought from the altar and touched his tongue, and he was purified. Then, in chapter 7, Isaiah receives this wonderful announcement that a virgin will conceive and bear a son whose name will be Emmanuel. Again in chapter 9, he sees the coming of that son and how the government would be upon his shoulder, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then in chapter 11, he sees the spirit of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and fear resting upon this person, and the earth being full of the knowledge of the Lord. There are many, many more things in these chapters 6 to 12 we could think about. References to the Lord Jesus, as well as other great truths. And so when we come here to chapter 12, it is a climax of praise and thanksgiving. The climax of this section. Let us think first of all in a personal testimony. A personal testimony. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. It's Isaiah who's speaking here, speaking for himself, but he's also projecting forward to a future day. If you have nothing else to do this afternoon or this evening, you could skim through this book of Isaiah and see how many times Isaiah uses that expression on that day or in that day. He's referring to the coming of the Lord Jesus, or referring to every day after the coming of the Lord Jesus. In that day, you will say, I will give thanks to the Lord. And so, friends, the question is so obvious to ask right at the beginning of our service. Today, this morning, already, have you given thanks to the Lord for all of his blessings, his goodness, and his grace to you. His material blessings, for your health, for spiritual blessings, blessings in your family, but especially blessings through the Lord Jesus. I wonder, are there times your heart is so full of thanksgiving that you burst into song, you have to praise him out loud? And so the psalmist says, the Lord is my strength and my song, in verse 2. The Lord is my strength. I have to confess that sometimes in the past, over the years, I've been accused of leading people astray when I sing. I don't always follow the tune. But people who sing are generally joyful, thankful people, appreciative of God's goodness and grace. And friends, I wonder, is that true of you? Does your family, do your friends, do your neighbors know that you are a thankful, appreciative person? Do they hear your words of praise, your words of thanksgiving, acknowledging God's goodness to you? No doubt if we were to ask questions of each one here, which TV channel do you normally listen to? Which radio station do you listen to? There'd be great variety among us here. Regarding the radio, because of all of our years in France, we have listened to Radio 4, BBC Radio 4, and we still do. And in the Today program in the morning, there is Thought for the Day at 10 to 8 in the morning. And yes, in the past, there used to be a few speakers who were really quite good. I don't know where they've all gone to. But over these past months, and it just seems that we have some blessed thoughts because of COVID, people who are suffering, and God is good to you, and because of the conference in Glasgow, yes, God is interested in our earth and one thing another, but that's all we have. But when we turn to Isaiah, those are not the kinds of things that are occupying his mind. He isn't wishing us a better quality of life. In the first verse, though you are angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Why was God angry with Isaiah? And of course, that's what the prophet discovered in Isaiah 6. Like every other human being, he was a sinner. And Isaiah had a fresh experience of the depth of the sin that was in his heart. In Romans 1:18, God's wrath is revealed against all ungodliness. God's wrath. Yes, God is a God of love, but he's also a holy God who hates, absolutely hates sin. And so, if we are those who have never acknowledged our sin, confessed our sin before him, his wrath is hanging over us. And that was Isaiah's experience. But God's anger was turned away. And much later in his book, he will tell us, he was able to see how a man would be crushed for our transgressions, how a man would be pierced for our iniquities. But here, in Isaiah 12, Isaiah simply shares his own personal encounter. Yes, your anger was turned away that you might comfort me. This is the God of my salvation. This is something personal here for Isaiah. But friends, there's something really interesting here in this chapter. And perhaps some of you have a particular Bible with notes in the bottom of it. Or maybe some of you who are really intelligent are reading in French. Because it seems that some of these verses are singular and some are plural. In the opening verse, the you will say it's singular. Whereas in verses 3 and 4, it's you plural. And one commentator writes this: to enter into salvation is a personal experience, but to enjoy it is communal. When we have personally experienced salvation, we become members of a global family. That's a tremendous privilege. It's a bit like marriage. When you're married, suddenly become members of a different family. Yes, you were born and you had your own parents, but suddenly you're linked to another family. A whole new set of relationships develops. And friends, that is true for us in Christ. I look around here this morning and I don't see many people of color. But many of our brethren and sisters in Christ are people of color, found in all kinds of lands. They are our brethren, members of the same family. We want to hear about our family. We want to hear what God is doing among our family members. Friends, are you interested in the wider family, Christ's family? What's happening among your brethren elsewhere in the world? Of course, it is impossible for us to have an up-to-date, ongoing relationship with every brother and sister throughout the world. And so God in His wisdom, God in His grace, has placed us in little groups of local churches. And so we have to ask the question, do you here in Kalratz, do you rejoice in this privilege of being together? Are you a family? How much do you talk to each other? How much do you share with each other? God has helped me this past week as I've read this. I found this book particularly challenging because it's helped me in this way. Yes, I confess I'm struggling with this part of my Christian life. Could you pray for me? Do we act as a family here? Do we share? Do we talk to each other? Are we learning together from God's word? Are we encouraging each other? A personal testimony. But then secondly, we see a real confidence. A real confidence. We're living in most unusual and uncertain times. And no doubt, many of us here have questions. What's going to happen in the coming weeks and months and even years? None of us knows. D.L. Moody, the famous American evangelist in the late 19th century, was in conversation one day with a lady, and she confided to him that she had many fears, but that she had discovered a Bible verse that helped her in those moments. It was Psalm 56, verse 3. When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. But Moody said to her, there is an even better verse in the Bible, and it would keep you from being afraid. It's Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold the God of my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. I will trust and will not be afraid. Friends, if only each of us had that same trust and were not afraid. Many of us are afraid of different things about the future. And yes, of course, we must teach our children and young people that there are things they must be afraid of. Electrical appliances crossing the road, certain products. Being afraid is sometimes necessary. It's one of those great themes of Scripture, fearing God. And I'm sure you have heard, I won't go over it again, but I'm sure David has been talking about the ministers' conference, which is an absolute blessing, when Paul Levy spoke about the fear of God. And many, many verses, particularly the book of Proverbs, underline the importance of a right fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. He who fears the Lord has great confidence. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. In fact, more than 300 times in the Scripture, there is this expression, fear not, or something similar. And some are well known. And often, perhaps, some who should have known better, they were fearful. We think of the spies who were sent into the promised land, and some of them were fearful. We think of Peter looking at the waves. Their trust was not upon God and His word. Their gaze was not upon Jesus and His promises. And so that is the challenge and the lesson here of verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. Do we think of all of Jesus' promises to those who are His children? Those who are His sheep, how He will care for them. How He'll watch over them, whatever the difficulties. Yes, all of us here will undergo all kinds of trials and difficulties in this life. But our center of gravity is not those difficulties. Our center of gravity is heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And that is our hope. That is our joy, our assurance. We know that our great King is looking after us. The Lord God is my strength and my song, says Isaiah. He has become my salvation. And perhaps Romans 8:28 summarizes that confidence we have. I know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. In this book, Isaiah the prophet, in chapter after chapter, seeks to show his countrymen how they should put all their trust in God, have confidence in Him. How much more we today, with the coming of Jesus, with the fulfilling of many of these promises that Isaiah announced, how much more should we be full of joy and confidence, because we know the one who is King of Kings, the one who is Lord of Lords, the one who is reigning over all things. Then thirdly, let us see here abundant provision. In verse 3, Isaiah writes, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. No doubt, Isaiah was drawing parallels with the Israelites after their exit from Egypt. In the wilderness, God provided for them with water, whether from the rock or from springs of abundant water like Elim. And if we are in Christ, we are no longer in a spiritual desert, because in Christ there are springs that are numerous and abundant. And of course, that picture of abundant water is found everywhere in God's word. Psalm 1, that man is blessed. He's like a tree planted near streams of water. Psalm 23, he leads me beside still waters. We're staying with Isaiah 51. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And that reminds us, of course, of Jesus' invitation to the Samaritan woman in John 4. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And in John 7, that invitation is similar. except there Jesus spells out that this living water is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who enters into the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit who enables, who strengthens, gives abundant life to the believer. And all of this ties in with the words of Psalm 23, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Alas, today, many, many people seek their contentment in all kinds of other activities, and even some who claim to be Christians. They seek contentment in activities outside of the church often. And that was the case in Isaiah's day. Those who said they were God's people, and yet the way they lived did not reflect that. And often Isaiah had to rebuke his hearers. And one of the other prophets, Jeremiah, does the same. He says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no waters." Friends, as we saw earlier, here in verse 3, the word "you" is plural. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It is the people of God together drawing from those wells. And you see, it may well be that some of us, some of you might think, because of COVID these last months together, do we really need to come together physically? Because of the technology we have now, we can all be in our own home and we can listen to great preachers throughout the world. If we've all got access to books, we can read things at home. Do we have to come together? But it's you together drawing water is the picture here. But when we think of all of Scripture, the means of grace, fellowship together, the sacraments, those things in particular are enjoyed together. We were meeting here about 100 years ago, just over 100 years ago. I wonder how many here would have been able to read. It's only in the last 100 years ago that everybody went to school. Everyone learned how to read God's word. But before that, good people, godly people, couldn't read. They had to come to church to hear the minister reading. The blessing was there because that was where the blessing was meant to be. God's people meeting together in the public place. Friends, that's how it should still be today. Yes. We can give thanks for the benefits and privileges. In my own home, I can read wonderful books. I can listen to great men online. But that doesn't compare with the promise of God's Spirit when two or three are gathered together in His name to worship Him, to meditate upon His goodness and His grace. And it's true, if you're not drinking from those wells, those springs in God's word during the week, when we come on the Lord's day, our hearts will be dry and barren and not open, perhaps, to hear what God the Lord is saying to us. Friends, is there a real desire, longing to be together? To have God's blessing poured out upon us. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Then let us see, lastly, some simple resolutions. From verse 4 to the end of the psalm, we have a succession of imperatives. And all of those imperatives are in the singular, except the very last one, which is feminine singular. Sing and shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. Verse 6. It's not that women need to be more encouraged than men. In fact, it's the opposite. We who are men are often much more slothful, less engaged spiritually than many of you ladies are. But Isaiah here is simply stressing that all, without exception, can turn to God, can find fellowship and comfort from Him. Yes, he's saying, you women in my day are not inferior. Grace isn't just for men, it's for all. And yes, all without exception can declare what God has done for them. That was his own experience. In a sense, in chapter 6, after he had been cleansed from his own sin, he had to go and tell it to others. Let us look then at these imperatives. Look at them quite briefly. The most space is given to praise. Verses 5 and 6, sing praises to the Lord. Verse 6, shout and sing for joy. A few months ago, I finished a book about Martin Luther, and I found this quotation very helpful. Only a new man can sing a new song. A person cannot praise God unless he understands that there's nothing in himself worthy of praise, but that all is of God and from God. Only a new man can sing God's praise. And then this from John Calvin. Praise constitutes the chief exercise of godliness in which God would have us to be engaged in during the whole of our life. Praise is the chief exercise of godliness. How much time do we give to praise? Or think of John Piper, well-known American Baptist pastor, who has this very challenging statement. The ultimate goal of the church is not mission, but worship. Mission exists because worship doesn't. Missionary and evangelistic activity is a temporary necessity, but worship remains forever. Worship remains forever. And yes, of course, our praise is always to be directed toward God. But our worship and praise can also be a powerful testimony and a means of instruction to others. Do people hear about us praising God in our homes? Because our hearts are full of God's grace. We're being touched. We are remembering all that he's done for us. Then we're all to be witnesses. Verses 4 and 5. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Let this be made known in all the earth. And why should that be the case? Because he has done wonderful things. Because he is not some far-off, distant deity. The Son of God, second person of the Trinity, took human nature, became one of us, walked here upon this earth, did something that we couldn't do for ourselves. He turned away that anger of God that we might know him as God and Savior, that we might be reconciled to God. Then we must pray. Verse 4. Call upon his name. If we want others to come to the Lord, we must pray for that. Friends, Is that a constant theme in our prayers? Are we praying for loved ones in our family circle? Are we praying for neighbors? Are we praying for the surrounding area? Are we praying for people in this land, people in other lands? Are we known as people of prayer? If you go to the supermarket, there's a whole row of bottles called cola, Pepsi Cola, Coca-Cola, etc., 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 and you look at them, and each one has got a secret ingredient or something they'll tell us. But friends, if we are true Christians, there isn't a secret ingredient. All these things that are true of every Christian should be found in us, and one of those factors should be we are known as people of prayer. People of prayer. People of praise. People who witness and give thanks around them for God's goodness and grace. We end our meditation as we began it. The imperative verse of verse 4. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. And if we return to the book of Revelation, we find that the people of God in glory are constantly giving thanks. And if you're hoping one day to be there in heaven with God's people, perhaps we should begin here to be developing those habits and practices that are so manifest among them. Almost certainly Isaiah was already a prophet before his experiences in Isaiah 6. And to use our modern language, perhaps his experience there in Isaiah 6 was a second, deeper conversion experience. And perhaps that is what many of us here need. Yeah, we say, yes, I've been a Christian for X number of years. But perhaps we become rather cold, rather formal in our relationship. Do we need a fresh meeting with Christ, a fresh experience of His grace, a fresh work of His Spirit in our hearts and lives? Or perhaps for some of us, we need a first conversion experience. You might think, well, I'm a good living person. People in the community look up to me for my many qualities. Everything is okay. But no, even if there was one single sin in your life, God is angry with you. God's wrath is waiting to be poured out upon you. And in fact, in each of our lives, there are more than one sin. There are hundreds, there are thousands of sins, many quite unknown to us. How we need to be thankful that God sent His Son, born of a virgin, who was punished at Calvary in the place of sinners like us. Friends, I think this little chapter here is a real beauty in God's Word. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. With joy. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Yeah. Words that are so true. And words which should touch our souls. And be a real blessing to us. May that indeed be the case. Amen. Let us turn to God's word as we sing praise. We use the words of Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And singing from stanza 14 to the end of the psalm. Psalm 118. And the tune is Naomi, number 121. That stone is made head cornerstone, which builders cast aside. This is the doing of the Lord, a wonder to our eyes. This day the Lord has made. Let us be glad in it with joy. Lord, save, I pray. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. O blessed is the one who comes in the Lord's great name. The blessing from the Lord's house we unto you proclaim. So Psalm 118, from stanza 14 to the end, the tune 121, let us praise God.
The stone is made head cornerstone, which builders cast aside. This is the doing of the Lord, a wonder to our eyes. This day the Lord has made, let us be glad in it with joy. Lord, save, I pray, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Oh, blessed is the one who comes in the Lord's great name. The blessing from the Lord has we upon you to proclaim. God is the Lord who unto us has made health to arise. Bind to the altar's horns with cords the festal sacrifice. You are my God, I'll give you thanks. My God, how will you praise? Oh, thank the Lord, for he is good, for his love lasts always.
Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we confess that we are not always as thankful as we ought to be for all that you are and have done for us. But Father, we pray that by your Spirit that you would help us more and more to become men and women, more and more like Jesus, people who live in fellowship with you, people who witness constantly to your glory, people who rejoice in your word, people who witness around us about what you mean to us and have done in our lives. And Father, we pray that people would see that we have been touched by your word, touched by the Spirit, touched by the Lord Jesus. And we pray even that people will be drawn to us, curious, that they might discover what is happening in our lives, that we might become instruments in pointing and leading others to this wonderful Savior we have. So, Father, bless your word to each one of us and enable us to meditate upon these wonderful truths. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.